Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today for the Cloud Computing Roundtable, Episode 4. We're here with a great roster of folks, and I'd like to introduce everybody. First off, my name is Gary Orenstein. I'm the Vice President of Marketing at Gear 6. And co-hosting with me today is Steve Nerell, the Chief Technology Officer at TechValidate. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Thank you, Gary.
And we have two great guests today. The first is Bert Armijhoff, the Senior Vice President of Sales, Marketing, and Product Management from 3Tera. Hi, Bert.
Good to talk to you.
And also joining us today is John Pozizides, the Vice President of Chief Marketing Officer at Layered Technologies. Thanks for joining us, John.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, I thought we'd cover just a little bit of news and activity over the last couple of weeks in terms of what's been going on with cloud computing. I think probably the biggest news was that earlier this week with EMC World, I believe that was their either analyst or user conference, and a lot of headlines came up about their MOSI activities, their upcoming platforms of Hulk and Maui, and their iOmega acquisition. And you know, one question that I had about EMC and somewhat in relation to the cloud computing is just how low can they go in terms of linking the consumer market potentially with the enterprise or cloud computing aspects of online backup or storage services, and you know, can they really effectively cover the end-to-end food chain there? And just wanted to open it up to if anybody had any comments there.
Well, I'll take a stab at that one. You know, I think if we take a look at what EMC is trying to do, the idea is very intriguing because what they're looking at is being able to use iOmega as a foothold in the SMB or maybe even the consumer market. And yet at the same time, they're building the large back-end systems that can power services like MOSI. So if they're so able, if they're to, able to do the integration properly, it's a great success.
I think the other thing to point out here is I think the market really bifurcates maybe a little differently than everyone talks about it, in the sense that from my own experience, like the medium-sized businesses buy infrastructure and products and have similar kind of purchasing patterns as a typical, you know, kind of larger business or enterprise. But where it becomes really interesting and where their strategy literally has to kind of dovetail is when you're trying to reach out and attack that consumer market and the small business market. To me, those look slightly different than how the purchasing processes happen in medium and upper and larger businesses. And so I think the crux for whether EMC is successful is really going to hinge on how they apply their two kind of different marketing strategies and approaches to those two areas, because a one-size-fits-all doesn't work for the whole broad spectrum.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I mean, it's certainly a wide swath when you want to cover helping people build data centers and potentially cloud computing data centers and then go all the way down to the consumer. So we'll see what happens on that front. Some other news and headlines, Salesforce.com came out with their results just a couple days ago and shot up yet another few points of the stock price. So once again, I think they're certainly keeping their place in the leading ranks of cloud computing offerings. I also saw that Rackspace is headed towards an IPO at some point. I don't know, John, if that's if they're a direct competitor to some of the things that you do, or if you have any thoughts on Rackspace and where they're headed.
You know, certainly Rackspace is a great company. They've been in the market for a long time. I was formerly with Savvis Communications, and they were more of a competitor for Savvis than they are Layered Tech, primarily because they really do try and focus on the larger enterprise clients. And although Layered Technologies does, we'll talk a little bit about it later, but Layered Technologies does focus on the enterprise market, we don't quite tend to go as high yet as Rackspace. Still, I think they're a great company. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in an IPO for them, and it'll be a great indicator for the rest of the market, because I think it's been a little while since we've seen something that significant in terms of IPOs in this space right now.
Yeah, I can't think of any others that are so directly tied to some of this cloud computing activity. The other thing I saw is an interview with Seagate CEO Bill Watkins, and somebody had asked him the question, about is the data going to be stored on the desktop, or is it going to be stored in the cloud? And does Seagate have a preference? He of course, I think, doesn't have a preference. He said, I'd like it to be stored in both places because then they'll need two drives. But I was just curious if anybody has any opinions there about, you know, going forward, how much do we really expect the local desktop-oriented storage to be a big part of the equation compared to putting things in the cloud?
You know, Gary, my personal feeling, I have to go back to kind of the way I like to use data, and hopefully it's a little bit of a litmus test for the general market. But personally, what I'm concerned about with are kind of three things. Number one is reliability. I don't want to lose my data. That's what's most important to me. Number two is speed of access. And number three would be kind of how much data can I store? And, you know, frankly, as a consumer, I don't care if it sits on my desktop or if it's in a cloud somewhere. I'm most interested in how it meets those needs. And I think as broadband speeds increase and as it's easier to transfer between my local machine and some cloud somewhere in the ether, the remote storage becomes more and more attractive if it's being professionally managed by someone. Having said that, I'm not entirely convinced we're there yet. I haven't personally moved any of my storage off of my hard drives. I just done things to make them more redundant, but I kind of would like to do that.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. One of my hobbies is photography, and I have about 7 terabytes in my house of storage. Clearly, I can't take that all with me no matter what I do at the moment, but being able to access it when I'm remote would be very valuable to me, as long as the performance is adequate. And as John says, the primary thing is you don't want to lose any data. But, you know, to be honest, even though I know how the technology works and I'm more than capable of actually maintaining my own NAS, it's not something that I necessarily want to spend my time doing. So the availability of a service that's professionally managed is something that's quite attractive. I do use Dynavol from Layered Tech for some storage, and I've been playing around with it. And I hope to be able to use, you know, additional capacity there. But I think at some point, you know, I don't want to add the next disk drive here. I'd much rather be able to leave it to the folks that do it so well.
Yeah, it's I'm kind of the same way. I'm, you know, take care of my own stuff, but certainly you can see the time in the very near future where you're just going to want to stop managing PCs around the house or managing any kind of NAS device around your house and let somebody else take care of it for you.
Well, yeah. Not everybody has a NAS at home yet, of course, but given the proliferation of, you know, video cameras and digital cameras, you know, you can clearly see where the average household has much, much, much more data than we would ever have anticipated before. You know, they probably have a TiVo system or some other DVR going, and, you know, all these things generate considerable amounts of data, and the ability to maintain it and store it. We're driving faster than, or it's growing faster than the disk drives are growing. So that means they all of a sudden have to then deal with systems instead of just a disk drive. And that's where things start to get complicated still. So that's where the service really becomes valuable. And I don't know how it's going to shake out. I mean, I could easily see, for instance, you know, the DVR function moving back into the cable provider instead of being at my home. We already see a couple services like that. And, you know, is that cloud storage? Well, maybe not really, but maybe, for instance, Comcast or Cox decides that they don't want to maintain that data either, and they'd rather actually outsource it. So, you know, how this all shakes out in the long run still remains to be seen.
Well, anything that gets me away from the cable companies one further step is a good thing, in my opinion. So. let's move on. A couple of other just general topics. I saw a post from Jay Kidd, the chief marketing officer at NetApp, titled Scattered Clouds. And the question I wanted to pose to the group is, why is there such a need for some folks to trash the terminology as we enter into some of these new definitions? It really seems like there becomes this jousting match as opposed to just sort of talking about it and figuring out how we can make use of it. Does anybody have any thoughts there?
I feel like it's a little bit of almost fear of the unknown, in the sense that, you know, if this is at all disruptive to the way NetApp sees it, that concerns them. I guess my big issue with what Jay had to say and what he put down was more kind of how he was kind of playing games or at least changing what I, you know, cloud computing by its very nature is kind of very, it is ill-defined, but it is very broadly defined, at least in terms of how I look at it. And I guess my greatest concern there was he was kind of trying to put it in a very small box and then bash it. And I think, you know, cloud computing is Salesforce.com all the way, you know, through to some of the more scalable back-end services that are being done in enterprise. And cloud computing is not just, you know, enterprise. It's very far-reaching across the board. And that to me is, you know, it's part of this kind of natural, I guess, if you want to call it, hype cycle that any kind of disruptive trend is going to go through, where the term gets hyped, then people are going to be detractors of it. But ultimately, as we go through that kind of hype curve up, we're going to go through into a much more kind of pragmatist adoption level where people use this on a, you know, day-to-day basis, and it becomes kind of the fundamental building blocks for a new kind of model. And I think that we're certainly not fully into, you know, pragmatist adoption, but you know, the hype is high, and hence the reason people are going to be detractors of it.
I've got to agree with Steve. I think that right now we're the whole. First of all, we have a problem with even deciding what we're naming this space. Is it cloud computing? Is it grid computing? Is it cluster computing? We don't even know what the name of it is. And then on top of that, there's so few entrants into the market, and there's so much diversity in the offerings that trying to lump it all together and make general statements about what's going on is silly, really. But it's almost necessary for, especially in an emerging technology like this, the media and other folks who are trying to cover what's going on. We need to classify and compartmentalize and generalize a little bit. So I think that as the industry matures, we'll be able to create more buckets in the cloud computing space and place people appropriately. So you wouldn't necessarily be trying to compare Amazon's offering directly to Layered Tech's offering, for example, because they're very different, you know. And once we reach that stage of maturity that people start understanding what the differences are, and there are more entrants into the market, into each of the different markets, then, you know, perhaps some of that fear and misunderstanding will go away.
Well, I think, you know, if you take a look at what the customers are talking about, you know, I'll give you an example. We advertise on Google AdWords, and we use the term cloud computing as one of our keywords. And there's been more than a 10x increase in the number of impressions that we get on cloud computing over just the last 6 months. And so what that indicates is that there actually is a great deal of interest in the topic from customers. And so they're searching. They want information. They want to understand what's possible in this new space. And there are a lot of things in this new space that are attractive to them. What that does to vendors that aren't in the space, that is, it puts pressure on them to respond. They can respond in one of two ways. They can either take existing products or services and start trying to label them as cloud computing, or they can try to thwart the effort for cloud computing and say that it's not really ready for prime time, or it's not ready for enterprises, etc. And they simply chose the latter. So, but we see this with every new cycle in technology, right? We saw it with the internet. We saw it with PCs. Vendors are forced to respond by the customers coming in and saying, what are you doing in this space? And they can't say, well, we don't know about this space, or we don't have an opinion. They have to say something.
Well, I think that's a perfect segue to get into our company-specific discussion today, because really what we're talking about is not what is cloud computing and trying to define it or create some fixed boxes, but what are some of the products and services that customers can actually make use of that fit within this broad arena. So I'd like to start with you, Bert, and give us a little bit of a background, perhaps opening up in terms of 3Terra's products and services and a general overview, and then we can dig into some deeper questions.
Okay. So 3Terra is a software company. We are a startup. We're about 4 years old in Southern California. Our principal product is named AppLogic. It is a utility computing platform that we license to hosting providers like Layered Tech, on which they then offer cloud computing services. One of the unique things about AppLogic is we will, we're not in the service business ourselves per se. We don't own any servers. We don't run a data center. And therefore, we can focus simply on how to make the platform better and how to provide it through a number of providers so that if you don't, Layered Tech is a great company, but companies, our customers always want choice. And so we have partners, for instance, in Japan, we have partners in Europe, we have a couple partners here in the US, and you can get AppLogic services from all of them. The other thing is if we have an enterprise customer, let's say a large government entity or a large bank, et cetera, they may want to actually use the same services in their data center, and licensing AppLogic, they can in fact do that. They can build their own cloud inside of their data center. And that gives them then the ability to actually move applications back and forth between their data center and, let's say, Layered Tech's facilities at will, which is a capability we've never had before in the industry. So we do see companies doing this fairly routinely, and it is one of the key differences between ourselves and some of the other offerings in the market at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bert, you've been at 3Terra since the beginning. I'm wondering if you could give us a little history in terms of the genesis and some of the things that you and the rest of the team saw in the market that led to the creation of the company and some of the core products.
Well, to be honest, when we started 3Terra, we weren't actually trying to build a cloud computing company. It was actually a much simpler to say, much harder to do. But I had started a couple of other companies in the past. The last one was called Topspin, which is now part of Cisco, and we had built a data center virtualization switch. So we were doing some of the things in hardware that we're now trying to do in software. And then prior to that, I had brought out some of the first L3 and gigabit Ethernet switches and load balancers and a lot of the gear that's used in so much of the Web 2.0 infrastructure. And we had watched as customers had kind of struggled with scale. How do you get from 2 servers to 20 servers to 200 servers to 2,000 servers? And we'd also seen the size of a data center for a Web 2.0 company blossom into hundreds of servers as kind of typical. And so what we were looking at people spending massive amounts of money and massive amounts of labor trying to manage this infrastructure, and yet this infrastructure isn't what adds value to their service. It's their code that does. And so we set out to try and just tackle that scale and make something that would help people be able to deal with infrastructure in a much simpler way than racking and stacking servers and pulling wires. And the result is AppLogic. It basically, technically, it's a grid operating system. It's also a meta operating system, meaning it's an operating system that runs other operating systems within it. And it allows you literally to define infrastructure just the way you would on a whiteboard today, draw load balancers, firewalls, VPNs, and databases, et cetera, except at the end of that exercise, you have a run button. And AppLogic will then create that infrastructure for you and package it so that it becomes scalable and portable, and you can move it from place to place, and you can actually increase the resources behind it or decrease them at will. This was our objective. We launched AppLogic about 2 years ago into beta, just a little over 2 years ago. We still have customers with us that have been there since the very beginning, 2 years ago. We're now on version 2.3, will come out actually in the next week or so. And in 2.3, we're starting to take the first steps towards opening the system up. So in addition to Linux, which we've been supporting for quite some time, we'll be adding Solaris support. And then going forward in July, we'll be adding Windows support, and then we'll start opening up the interfaces so that people can add their capabilities into the system as well.
Neat. So just hypothetically, if I decided that I wanted to create a data center tomorrow, and I called up and had a whole truckload of servers and switches and everything delivered to me, and then I decided that I wanted to use 3Terra, as that core infrastructure, what do I need any other pieces of software other than some of the value-added services I might provide on top of that, or does 3Terra provide me sort of everything I need for that primary platform?
Well, it is the primary platform. It basically installs directly onto the servers. There's no other hardware necessary besides the servers, the storage within the servers, and the network that connects them together. Obviously, you're going to need software that runs within 3Tera. And for that, basically, since we run Linux inside the system and now Solaris, pretty much any open source software that you can find out there will run on AppLogic without modification. That's one of the things that we see customers doing is bringing new code into the system that we've never seen before. And we have folks that run everything from, obviously, Apache and the LAMP stack, all the way up through people running Oracle Rack. These are not things we have to do for them. It's basically just an offshoot of the way the system works. They're able to bring in new pieces of software.
Very neat. Steve, did you want to jump in with any questions?
Well, I think it's maybe a question that's kind of broadly relevant for both panelists here. Is, you know, I'd be interested in getting their take from both of you guys just on this notion that Mark Andreessen is kind of on record in dubbing that kind of like new technology startups, et cetera. What he's observed is that there's kind of this trend towards the laptop startup. The startup that owns essentially no physical assets or infrastructure, owns just laptops, does everything essentially in the cloud. And the question, I guess, for both of you is, first of all, do you agree with that kind of generalized trend of that's where the market for technology startups is going? And then the more, I guess, interesting question is how generalizable is that in terms of where IT and IT goes and how that transcends other kind of vertical markets and businesses, et cetera, based on both of your guys' experiences? Because to some extent, you guys are the guys selling the picks and shovels to make a lot of that happen.
John, you want to take a stab at that one?
I'd love to. Yeah, I think, I could answer that question in so many different ways. First of all, we have thousands and thousands of customers. So we're actually right on the front line of seeing exactly what you've described happening every day. We absolutely have people coming to Layered Technologies for with startup businesses who really may not even have an office. And they're running with a virtual crew coexisting in various places around the globe, and they work together to build something really big and spectacular. And, you know, I think WordPress is a fantastic example of that. If you look at the growth of that application over the last few years, that they're now hosting, I think they've publicly stated that they're hosting over 2.5 million blogs. And, you know, these guys, they don't own infrastructure. They lease it. They're one example. So we do see that. And I personally even have bought into that model. I have a little web monitoring application that I launched with a couple of friends who, you know, that we built entirely to run on the grid. And we don't ever want to run our own infrastructure. We don't want to own it. We don't want to manage it. We just want somebody to take care of that for us. And I think that's a lot of what people are looking for. You know, the developers out there who are coming up with the next big dig or Twitter or Facebook or whatever the application might be, they want to program. They want to write code, and they want somebody else to keep it running for them. And I don't know, I just say, yes, I believe in that trend. I bought into it fully. And we see it occurring from Layered Tech's perspective, literally every single day.
So John, absolutely agree. We are in fact an interesting footnote to what you were just illustrating. Tech Validate is a company that is also completely virtual. We're a customer of Layered Tech. And we run everything in the cloud as a virtual company. So it is a topic, and what you're saying is near and dear to my heart in terms of new startups coming up that are running completely virtual, both from a infrastructure perspective and even a bricks and mortar office perspective.
Now, I would take that one step further, because I remember when I got into this business, and it's a long time ago, I'm afraid. two guys in a garage could make a difference, right? I mean, you could go down to Fry's or any of the other hardware shops and pick up your 7400 series chips and a little processor and all the parts to make a, you know, wire wrap a board together. And you could go and build something, and then you could actually produce enough of it to make money and bootstrap a company. And then what happened in the PC era, of course, is you had to make semiconductors, and you required raising large amounts of capital, et cetera. The internet came along. We went back and did exactly the same thing. Two guys in a garage could make a difference again. And we see, you know, for instance, Larry and Sergey at Google, perfect example, right? And then, of course, scale hit the internet, and all of a sudden you needed massive amounts of hardware, hundreds or sometimes even thousands of servers. And companies grew to these sizes overnight. I mean, MySpace, within a couple of years of starting, was at 6,000 servers. You know, Facebook got to 4,000 servers in just 2.5 years. And this is massive scale, and it's the capital requirements of the number of people is amazing, what it takes to actually maintain that and build it. And so all of a sudden we saw that, you know, two guys in a garage had difficulty competing again. And now I think with cloud computing, what I'm seeing, and I agree with John, we're seeing it every day, two guys in a garage again. Great ideas, they're very energetic, and they don't have to go raise massive amounts of capital again. They can come in and lease just a little bit of resources, get their application up and running, and yet know that they can scale when required without having to go out and, you know, go through the trouble of raising a round of capital and all of the ramifications thereof. You know, as an entrepreneur, we're a bootstrapped company at 3Terra. We appreciate what these guys are going through in trying to bootstrap their companies. It's hard. It's difficult. And having this type of, you know, minimal capital footprint to get into the business is a great thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most exciting things about it from the entrepreneurial perspective is knowing that if you come up with the right idea, there's very little in the way now to reaching scale, because scale is really at your fingertips if you need it.
I have many, many, many customers that come in, and we spend more time talking about entrepreneurial things. How do you get your company started? How are you bringing in users? You know, how are you dealing with adding employees? Than sometimes even about AppLogic. So it is a trend we're seeing, and it's something we're happy to be able to help people do.
Great. Well, let's shift over a little bit and talk to John from Layered Technologies. John, maybe you could start with a brief introduction to the company and the products and services.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. And I'd like to also just echo what Bert was saying about being pleased to be able to help people in the way in which Layered Tech is helping Steve and his organization and all the other folks we've been talking about. Layered Technologies is a pretty large hosting provider at this point. We are one of the largest in the world, and we have been operating since 2004 and growing pretty much exponentially. You may or may not have heard, but just several weeks ago, we announced that we'd also acquired another company called Fast Servers, which is also a fantastic hosting organization. And our combined company now has a great deal of expertise, I'd say, in three primary areas. First of all, we provide dedicated servers, and lots of them. We generally have provided unmanaged dedicated servers. So what that means is people will come to us and ask us to provision the infrastructure they need for their hosting and then turn it over to them so they can manage it. And we will set up the switches and routers and firewalls, load balancers, servers, everything you could need, and turn it over, turn the root access over to our end clients and let them run with it. And many of our customers are technically adept, and they like that model, and it's been very good for the growth of the company, and we love those customers, and we continue to do that. The second area that we have a lot of expertise in, and it's primarily through our Fast Servers side of the house, is in the managed services business. And so we have a lot of customers who also want to bring their hosting to a large stable provider with a big network and redundancy and those types of things that they can't duplicate in-house or in their office, let's say. But they don't necessarily have the technical expertise to play server administrator on their own, and they really want someone to do that for them as well. And so we have that core competency to manage all of the root access to the servers and the various things required to keep that infrastructure running. And then the third big area of focus for our company is really this partnership with 3Tera, in which we provide grid-based hosting. And Layered Technologies has grown to become one of the world's largest grid hosting providers, and it is one of the fastest growing segments of our business. People who get on it love it. They never want to leave it, and it's just fantastically scalable and with a high level redundancy. So those are kind of the three primary areas of service that Layered Tech provides, and we generally tend to provide them to small and medium-sized companies, and our definition of that would be basically things, companies that don't fall into maybe the Fortune 500 to Fortune 1000 category. Those companies have very specific needs, and we're growing. One day we hope to meet them, but our sweet spot is in the kind of mid-market and in the enterprise space, and also in the kind of technical and consulting arena. So that's kind of a little intro into who Layered Tech is.
But that's great, John. Some people talk about the hosting and even the managed services business as being very crowded and hard to differentiate. What are some of the things that stand out for Layered Technologies beyond the three points you've outlined to really make a difference and lead the pack, at least as far as your customer base?
You're right. The hosting market is a pretty crowded place, and Layered Technologies is trying to differentiate our services in a few key ways, key areas, I'd say. First of all, scale. There are a lot of hosting providers in the marketplace who are quite small, and many of them are even reselling other carriers, larger carrier services. And I think that the market appears much more crowded than it is because of those players. But if you focus really on the kind of tier one providers of service, Layered Tech is definitely among the largest. And there's a lot to be said for scale in terms of the ability to provide growth and capacity and redundancy and customer service. So we feel like we're differentiated in those areas, especially on the customer service side. We are very high touch for our clients. We tend to go, even though we've been mainly an unmanaged service provider, we tend to go well beyond what the bare minimums are for providing those services in terms of trying to keep our clients happy and taken care of. So that's certainly one area. Another area is the focus on virtualization technologies. Our relationship with 3Tera in the grid hosting space has been going on for a long time now, longer than I believe anyone else has been doing this. And we've got a lot of experience that you just can't beat. We also are working with a number of other providers, including VMware and Parallels and other virtualization technologies, so that we can have kind of a well-rounded offering. The grid is a fantastic product for, I think, most people, but certainly it's not applicable for everyone, and there are other technologies that need to be considered and provided, and we're working on those as well. So, I think scale, service, product differentiation in terms of focus on virtualization, those are some of the key areas that we believe we differentiate ourselves.
Excellent. Steve, did you want to jump in with any additional questions?
Well, I think we covered a lot of them in terms of what we've just been discussing, but I would say that what John is providing here is the absolute kind of essential for a lot of this kind of entrepreneurial ecosystem in the sense of being able to kind of be almost this turnkey solution. So from that perspective, I think that, you know, these both of these guys here on the panel are kind of enabling, you know, kind of the cloud computing ecosystem and set of applications. And that's what I think is so exciting about this space.
Great. Now, both Bert and John have referred to the partnership between the two companies. And just, you know, in the closing comments here, I wondered just from each of your perspectives, if you could give us, you know, some of the specific benefits that you've seen from working together. Maybe we'll start with you, Bert, and then finish with John.
Sure. We actually started out as a customer of hosting providers. In our early days, we decided we didn't want to start building out hardware platforms to test. And as we started going out and renting servers and talking to some of the hosting providers and trying to explain to them what we were doing and why we needed so many servers, the folks at Laird actually latched on to us and said, you know, we would like to actually participate in this and be able to you know, offer services directly ourselves, which is not something we had really anticipated. And so it really helped us in terms of understanding the dynamics of how hosting works and just how capable these companies are. So, you know, I'm not ashamed to tell you, Laird Tech actually helped change our product direction a little bit in that regard. And it's been very beneficial for us. They're great at bringing in lots of customers. They are our largest and our longest standing partner. And nobody else at this point even comes close in terms of the capabilities that they have in running grids for customers. And they have more experience with AppLogic than anybody besides ourselves. And they're good at also kicking us on the butt when we're slow to bring some feature out, et cetera, and, you know, relaying to us what the customer demand is. So they're very valuable in that regard as a conduit for information to us from the customer base and also about how their business operates and what we need to include in the system to make it viable for them to actually make money offering AppLogic. So they've been a great partner for us for at least a year and a half, almost 2 years now.
Excellent. John, any final comments on the partnership?
You know, I hate for it to sound like a giant love fest, okay? but I think that some of what's very good about the relationship between 3Tera and Laird Technologies is based on the fact that we work so well together. And, you know, I think that there's a little bit to be said just about the personal relationships that have developed between the individuals of the two companies, but also partially it's due to the shared vision that we have of where the market is going. I think we all believe that the grid and cloud computing space is going to have increased emphasis for a number of years. And so I'm happy that we have found a partner that shares that vision and that is able to provide such a fantastic product. And from Laird Technology standpoint, we've had nothing but success running the 3Tera AppLogic grids in our data centers. The customers who get on them love them. You couldn't take it away from them. The ease of management from a data center space is dramatically increased over traditional dedicated servers. And the folks at 3Tera have been very responsive to our needs. So this isn't the things that I think Bert and I are saying right now about working with one another's companies. They're not just things that we would say during an interview. If you caught us on the street or at a show in Vegas or wherever the heck we might be, you'll hear us saying the exact same things over and over. I think both companies are easy to work with. I think that, you know, I hate to create additional competition for myself, but, you know, most companies would be, if it'd be fairly foolish not to work with 3Tera, considering the advantages that their services offer in this space. And, you know, that's about all I can say.
Excellent. Well, thanks for those comments. At this point, I think we'd like to wrap up. So first off, I want to thank Steve for co-hosting today. Appreciate that, Steve.
Well, thank you, Gary, for having me.
And I'd like to just give Bert and John a quick moment to direct listeners to any particular company information or events or activities that you'd like to mention. So, Bert, we'll start with you.
As always, the obvious, the easiest place to get information is www.3terra.com. And right now, actually, we're in a bit of a lull in terms of events. I may be speaking at a couple events on the East Coast, but those are still being wrapped up. And we don't have any trade shows coming up. We have the Velocity show coming up in about a month, and then we're kind of in a lull until September.
Okay. And John, on your side?
Well, on our side, as far as more information, the critical URL would be thegridlayer.com, which is our grid-specific website with all kinds of information regarding the products that we offer. Now, in terms of events, we do have an event, actually, that Bert will be at, too, that is our industry kind of the trade show that LT hosts, which is called LT Pact. It happens June 25th through 27th, and it's at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. So we'll have lots of fun there, and you can get information on that event at ltpact.com. We have recently waived the event fee. We did that primarily because of our acquisition of Fast Servers, and we wanted to encourage all of our Fast Servers clients to join. But it's a fantastic event for anyone to attend. We'll be talking a lot about grid computing and virtualization, and we'll have speakers from Microsoft, Sun, and a number of other major vendors there. So we would love to have as many people as possible there, although registrations are filling up quickly. So if you have the opportunity, please come and join us.
Excellent. Well, that sounds like it'll be a really interesting event. So looking forward to hearing what happens there. Well, that's about it for the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening in for the Cloud Computing Roundtable. I'm Gary Orenstein, Vice President of Marketing at Gear6. And for more information about the show or more details, we're currently being hosted on the Gear6 company blog, which is ThoughtPut. And very shortly, we will also be launching a cloud computing specific blog to host all of these shows, and that will be at thecloudcomputingshow.com. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.